Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes your eyes look blue to me, although I know they're really green. I seem to see you differently.
Different coin, different size, yeah. Still I learn to improvise, yeah. All my love intensifies, yeah. She can see the Gemini and on the flip side, that's the Jim and her. Way before that was him and her, I can see the him and her. Before the love, I mean before the friends and Kirby's and birds and all that other shit. Before the time we spending time and shit, partaking lovey-dovey shit. She shot and buried all lovey Smith, kissing, hugging, feeling, touching shit. Infatuated with it, fascinated with no knowledge of what we up against. But that's the risk we take, falling in line, not knowing if someone to catch you. It's a leap of faith, I mean Jesus' sake, baby, it's no doubt that you special. Someone I spend my life next to, you set me straight and I correct you. First you love me not and then you love me, you someone I always give my best to. Yeah, and respect you. Uh-huh.
Gemini,
different coin, different size, no. Similar shape, similar size, no. Similar smile, similar eyes. Got me looking at a deja vu, I mean, ain't I you, I mean, fuck this shit. Breaking up and then making up and then waking up like enough of this. It's a paradox of paradise. Life's a gamble, here's a paradise. But it's quite the interesting relationship between a host and parasite. Tunnel vision, I prepare my sight for the things I want to grind for. Then I open up my mind for it. Petty shit don't have the time for it. This is shit they get in line for. I just try to make the best of it. All the girls in the world that is fate in the bag, you're the one I connected with. And I put you on a pedestal. Spend the rest of life next to you. You keep me straight and I'm correcting you. A testament to my respect for you.
Gemini, all the purpose. First you love me, then you hate me. Ain't no way I sympathize. Gemini, make me wanna ever buy. First you hate me, then you love me. Girl, my heart is dead alive.
Protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a GC3, ain't no more feeler speed. I gave him chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead, but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment. How the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living, it's not getting better. You gotta know how to survive. Crazy
I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive. Overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign. Seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on. I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind of, they right or they wrong. I call him now, he'll pick up the phone. And it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. Gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from. But I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercations with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope. But I'm telling my youngins to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know. But it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no game. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep. Cause I'm scared they'll get me, ain't scared to admit it. Some shit I can't mention, it's people who can. Well, here's the chance, I won't take the stand. But I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can breathe. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Just gotta get some things off my chest. Tough times, I hope y'all holding up. We'll be alright, cause we always is. But I'm feeling like this.
Mothers have to cry. How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How many more times? How many more marches? How many more signs? How many more lives? How many more times? Take a look around. Can you see it now? Don't be colorblind. Cause when they're killing mine, they'll try to justify. Oh, each and every time. Playing in the park. Taking you a jog. Sitting on the couch. In your own house. Never seen a matter what we do. You think we don't matter what we do. You got a problem cause the city on fire. But you're quiet when niggas die. Let the soul up out that body that we buried. You were God, now you no longer have to worry. It's so hard to sing these words out loud. All these beautiful, precious black lives lost in the name of senseless white pride. Tears falling from us. How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How many more marches? How many more signs? How many
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned into GEI Radio Sunday Talk. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host with me. John, what's going on?
What's good, Tone? What's good, everybody? Happy Sunday to you.
Same to you, same to you. Kate Nels will be joining us shortly. You know, we took a little vacation. A lot of stuff been happening in the last 2-3 weeks. We've been gone. We're gonna chop it up
some
of that stuff. But how was it in New York, man? How's it going as far as the weather, the virus, just life, period?
Well, you know, we just had that tropical storm, and it did some damage, yo. There's as of yesterday, there were still 55,000 homes without power here in New York City. You know, the trees were uprooted and stuff like that. I didn't hear about the death toll or anything like that, but I know that some people got messed up. A homie of mine, you know, his aunt, the storm picked up a tree and literally threw it into their house. And the tree pretty much split the house in half. It was pretty crazy. You know, I mean, it was a short, quick, fast storm. So it was 85-90 mile an hour wind. And, you know, them trees, you know, they weigh a bit. So when a tree gets uprooted, it's going to do some damage, you know. So that's the storm. Outside of that, you know, on the virus tip, you know, New York City's doing all right. Actually, New York is doing good because, you know, our numbers are still under 1%. So, you know, people are pretty much out and about, you know, whatever. I mean, we're still doing the whole mask thing and whatnot. But, you know, for the most part, people are out and about. Like, I see the basketball courts and the parks are open. You know, kids are balling out and stuff. And, like, you know, the only thing we don't have is clubs. You know, all the restaurants are still doing outdoor rooftop seating, you know, but barbershops and beauty salons and all that stuff are back open, you know, but there's no clubs yet. So other than that, you know, the whole talk in New York City now is the upcoming school year, you know, what they're going to do about school. So they did this survey up here, and I think like 75% of parents, you know, did an online survey about, you know, whether they want their kids back in school or not. And what the mayor said on Friday, 75% of parents want their kids back in school. So they're trying to figure out what's the best way to do that. They're talking about all kinds of stuff like split schedules for the kids, you know, and small class sizes and all that stuff, you know, for school-age kids. The college students, you know, are a lot of them are going to be predominantly online. You know, my daughter's going online this semester. So, like, that's what's going on with that, but other than that, you know, New York is New York. You know, we on the you know, on the fashion tip, you know, Fashion Week would be next month, but you know, they kind of canceled it. So, you know, everybody's just trying to find, you know, what they can do outside of actually doing runway shows and stuff. You're gonna see a lot of pop up shots, a lot of trunk shows, and you know, magazine releases and stuff like that to make up for it. But you know, New York is chilling. We out here. You know, the weather has been decent, you know, because, you know, we had a record amount of 90-degree days in July last month. 16 out of 31 days were 90 degrees or over. So, we even have an 80s now to reach them.
That's a bet. That's what's up. I see a couple places have already started school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got two feelings about that. See, this is the thing, man. This is the thing with me and the school thing, right? On one hand, we gotta wear a mask and it's serious and, you know, is a bad disease out there that's still out there. You know, we haven't really in some areas it's doing better than others. But hold on 1 second. Let me see. This might be K-Nell. GI Radio.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Greetings to the whole team. How y'all feeling today?
Hey, my
feeling
brother.
Good. Feeling
how
good.
Are you
doing?
Great to hear from you.
Well, I'm here, man. Y'all dropping some real knowledge, man. I can't be a troll and just be on the internet. I got to call in. Y'all need a pastor.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always good to have a man of God.
This ain't Fridays where it's like y'all out here selling pussy in front of the store, though. It ain't like that. I'm here to support what y'all are doing, but y'all got power. Y'all got a lot of power, and I want to say this. Y'all are changing the world, and y'all making history right now, and anybody under the sound of my voice, call the number. Call the number now. Get involved. It's 516-387-1268. If you don't be recorded in the book of life, you can never be recorded and changing the world. And these guys are serious.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that.
Man,
definitely, man. We definitely thank you for calling in. Definitely thank you for calling in and spreading them, you know, helping promote it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm about to get your boy, man. I'm about to make you busy, homie. I'm about to tell everybody about this show. I got 300 people in my congregation and in my women's team. But before I do that, I want you to know that I honor you. The hardest thing is putting together these shows and you hitting these hard topics. And you say what everybody else can't say, like a comedian, like Richard Pryor did when he was live on Sunset. That's
oh,
it's amazing.
Man, that's a blessing.
Do you feel what I'm saying?
Really appreciate that.
Do you understand? You are changing the world.
That's
what we're trying to
we
do, man. One
it,
phone
man.
Call at a
that's
time.
What we trying to, that's it. That's what we're trying to do, man. We got to use these platforms that we got to speak with others, you know, maybe don't have the, you know, maybe some people are afraid or some people, it's just not in them. So we got to use these platforms to speak our truth. You know,
well, let me ask you a question, man. How do you feel today, and what made you get up this morning to do this shit? Because you got to have some gangsterness in you to do this shit. But Lord, forgive me, and I should be cussing, but I'm a roaring pastor. I cuss, I smoke, and I drink, and I don't lie about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't catch your pastor coming out of the store, and I still need my 40 ounce. But what do you do that you feel like is changing the world? Because somebody got to give you some love. How do you handle all that shit?
Honestly, been there. For me, I've been there. You know what I mean? Like, what we're talking about is what we done lived through. You know? And I always was told, you can't give what you don't have. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, we just speaking truth. You know, we speaking truth, and somebody got to speak it. So, you know, we have the platform to speak it and speaking truth, and somebody going to listen, you know. So I think as black men, that's one of the things that's been listening.
I love my New York niggas. I love New York. What part of New York are you from? Poughkeepsie? Shit. I'm telling you, like, I've been there. You know what I'm saying? But
Brooklyn all day. Brooklyn. Three blocks from Biggie. Brooklyn.
Balls. Fuck, man.
Six blocks
Biggie
to Jay-Z. That's where we at. Yeah, but it's all about speaking real to people who understand real. You know, especially when it comes to reaching young people. Young people real recognize real. You know what I mean? So when we talking facts, you know, people listen.
God damn, man. Y'all niggas tried to rob me when I was in Times Square. I lived in 40 out of 50 states. Niggas tried to rob me. But I had to break some niggas' fingers. Like, I broke the niggas' fingers because they put their hands in their pocket. But y'all niggas take money. Y'all niggas get money. Take money.
Well, see, that's why we do these shows, man. That's why we do these shows, to give the youngins something else to think about and consider, for real.
Okay. Listen, Elder, I love you, but y'all niggas try to rob me, but I'm not dead, nigga. I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all didn't rob me with no gun. Nigga tried to go in my pocket. I broke his fingers. And after I broke his fingers, he was like, oh, this nigga's serious. He's like, yeah, you trying to rob me, but yeah, y'all the best. And I love my Brooklyn niggas stand up. And I got Wu-Tang coming on my show this week on Wednesday. God damn, man. Y'all the best. Y'all the fucking best, man. I'm like DMX. Boy, give me a sign. That's what I'm like. That's what I'm
saying. We appreciate you calling in. We got a couple more callers to get on, but you definitely appreciate it, man. I appreciate the love. I appreciate you calling in, promoting it. What's the name of your show so we can show the same love, man?
Entertainment Worldwide Network, Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to do my drop so everybody can hear it. We go out to 3 million households globally, 66 countries domestically. But at the end of everything, this is where y'all need to be. This is the catalyst. Say the chili, save the world. And I'm on a hero shit, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got it. Call me direct, 661-772-3035, and I love everything that they about to do to thrive. And I'm about to bring people in this goddamn show. And I'm not getting off the goddamn radio until they hang me up. So I'm about to bring some people in this bitch. That's what I do. Period.
That's what's up, man. We definitely appreciate it. Stay on, man. Check out the rest of the show, man. Check out the rest of the show and the topic. Don't hang up. We appreciate you calling in. That's what's up, man.
I fuck with y'all, man. You a hard ass host, homie. And I thank you for opening my line. But you hard, bro. You been getting on this ass. You hard. I can't be a troll and just listen to you beat the shit out of this nigga. You beat him out, you beat the shit out of him with questions. And I'm learning. I'm learning how to be a better radio host by watching you. So information and knowledge is nothing if it's not applied. When you connect those dots, it's wisdom. And that's what I chase. I don't chase money, pussy. All I do is chase wisdom. And God damn it, this guy is the fucking best.
We appreciate you, bro. Just you know, let us get on with the rest of the guys that people are calling. We appreciate you, though.
Appreciate you calling in, brother.
That's what's up.
Hey, Nails, what's going on?
What's up, yo?
What's going on, superstar?
Man, I'm cooling, you know.
That's what's up. Cooling, man. It's cooling. Yo, you just missed the you just missed like the craziest thing ever, bro.
Yeah.
We had a pastor call in. The cussing pastor.
Yeah.
What do you say he was?
I don't know, but he was real.
Like that.
That's all good.
Yeah, he was giving
That's
it up. Yeah,
good,
he was
bro.
Dope, yo. He was showing love, man. He was showing love.
Yeah, he showed us love, yo.
661, I think 661 is Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, 661. Cali or somewhere, I don't know. But dope dude, man. He was just showing love the show.
I thought 661... I think 661 is the South. I think that's Mississippi.
Mississippi, okay.
661 is Cali.
The area code is Cali.
The area code is 661. Oh, so he called that from Cali.
LA.
Showing love and whatever.
Yeah, that's LA. Yeah, showing love from LA. That's what's up.
Let me get back to my topic. Piggybacking off what you were saying, Jonathan, as far as the school starting back up. Now, let me ask you this, Kenel, are the schools starting back up down there, or they haven't made that decision yet?
No, they got, so it's mixed in the more rural counties, like Cherokee County and stuff like that. They back in school, like, up at the campus. Like, those pictures that have been going viral, that's from Etowah High School in Cherokee County. That's down here. Now, for Fulton and DeKalb, they remote. So they starting them off remote until calendar year 2021. And then after the Christmas break, holy shit, after the Christmas break, yo, people be wilding down here in Atlanta, yo. But after the Christmas break, they'll be able to. I swear I can't make up what I just saw. But after the Christmas break, they'll phase them back up to the campus in the cabin, Fulton. So, you know, I'll say in Trump Town, USA, they back at the campus. Like, everything straight. Like it's no threat to nothing, so they just back up there. In the areas of Atlanta that got sense, they are remote, so the students are still able to attend class from home.
Yeah, I was going to say that to Jonathan, because Jonathan had stated that in New York they did a survey and 75% of the parents said they wanted their kids back at school. And my thing is this, either this virus was not real or you retarded.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, either the virus, it was all a hoax, or these parents are retarded. Like, if it's anybody that don't need to be around anybody, it's kids. Because we all know kids bring germs home from school all the time before the corona, before this whole situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now, if this thing is real as everybody say it is, it's going by what people, what the media is saying.
Right.
If it's real as they say it is, you want to send these kids back into school, and you think putting up a shield is going to stop a third grader from wiping his nose and touching another third grader. Like, it's not. It's going to be too much for those teachers. It is not fair to them teachers. I think that what they should do is, and a lot of people might not like this, instead of giving people all this, you know, this extra money for stimulus, like, make it go towards a babysitter or but a daycare or something like that, to where as though if parents don't have a way to get their kids to school, can't afford to stay at home with their kids,
right,
they can afford like a sitter or somebody, because they got a voucher for it. You get what I'm saying? To make sure that their kids doing their work, they going, you know, something like that. But there's no way we should be sending these kids back to school right now when we unsure. When in certain states, they, you know, in Texas and Arizona and Atlanta, you know, in Georgia, they saying the numbers is going up. Again, this is not,
going
off the media.
This is the thing to consider. Most of the teachers, and especially older teachers and administrators and so forth, they put themselves at a higher risk, because when you look at the mortality rate, those people 50 years or older are definitely, it shows more prevalent than the younger demographic. So it's not even, the children are going to be reckless in passing germs, like you say. That's 100% accurate. But now you put all of your administrators and teachers and instructors that are older age at a much higher risk. And when you look at the deaths, when you look at the age of a lot of the deaths, that's actually what information that we do have, because, you know, a lot of it is, it's a lot of misinformation out there. But from what it seems like those who are older and with pre-existing conditions are definitely more susceptible. So now
right.
you put those instructors who dedicated their lives, you put them in a kind of a bind. Because it's like, I teach because I love what I do, clearly, because there's no real money in it. So that's not the motivation. The motivation is to really teach and be around kids and be impactful in that manner. And they got to choose between what they love to do in their life. And most of them are going to choose their life, and rightfully so.
Thanks.
That's true. That's true. You know, I just think that with the kids and stuff, one, you're not going to stop kids from being kids. Like, that's kind of crazy to think that, you know, you're going to keep masks on their faces all day, they're kids. You're going to keep them 6 feet apart, they're kids. You know, how are you going to monitor them when they go to the bathroom? How are you going to monitor them in playtime? Like, what kind of life are you going to give these kids? You know what I mean? So that's kind of crazy to me. But, I don't know what they're going to do, to be honest with you. That's just, the whole thing to me don't make no sense, honestly. It's like kind of, trying to do this, you know, it just don't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. And I know that they have to, you know, get, you know, I think money is involved, you know, that stuff or whatever, but it's definitely not a safe environment if that's what they're talking about.
And not only that, mentally,
really, no.
Mentally for these kids, you think about it. You go to school now, you sit at a desk with a plastic thing around you. So you're in a box.
Right?
So you got first to fifth graders pretty much in prison.
Yeah.
You can't move it. You got this glass window up against you, right? To the left, to the right, in the middle, in front of you. And you're speaking and you're talking out of this box for who God knows how long, because this can go on for 2-3 years or whatever. Everybody keeps saying it's a new norm,
right?
Like the mask on the face, this and this. So mentally, what is that going to do to those kids? Now when you go outside,
right?
Okay, you got to stay over here, you got to stand over here, and you got to stand over here. Like you said, Jonathan, what's the odds of these teachers, even with 6 students, making second and third graders keep still in social distance outside playing? Like, it's just stupid. It makes no sense, man. Like I said, two things. Either this thing is a hoax or these parents are idiots. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. I don't, like, nobody's making. I don't want to hear old Trump making people go, Trump got the schools open. Bro, here's the thing. Just like I told everybody in Atlanta about the clubs being open, you have a choice. He can open everything in Atlanta. That nobody's forcing these people to go to the strip club. Nobody's forcing these women to go to the nail and hair salon. Nobody's forcing people to go anywhere. These are all choices. So if this thing is real, and you truly want to be safe, stay in the house. Only do things when you have to do them. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Other than that, you can't cry about this virus is real and then be out in the club every weekend partying. It's not making sense. You know what I'm saying? It don't make sense to me. So, and then you can't, when the numbers go up, you can't say, oh, Trump got da-da-da-da-da. You can't do that.
Right. Right.
So you got to make a choice, man. Like, at the end of the day, you either going to sit still and let this thing pass over and let it go, or you're going to keep being a part of the problem. That's it. That's where I'm at with this virus thing, man. Like I said, with me, when we do stuff, I make sure that it's a close group of people that I know I can get in contact with if anything, you know, happens. If it's not that, I'm not interested. That's just me right now, and I don't even believe. I mean, I think the virus is real. I just don't think it's that as serious as they're saying. But I do think it's real. But just for the sake of being safe, I'm gonna take all the precautions. You know what I mean? I'm gonna make sure that I'm safe and everybody around me safe. Just because you just never know. So
facts.
And
that's how I feel about it. Respect yourself. Respect other people.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, I'm just over this political thing. I'm tired of the, it's the Democrats. Listen, man, people got to start taking responsibility for themselves. Like, nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. You know, people still going out shopping. People still going to the malls. People still going out to eat. People still going to the club. Again, getting their hair and nails done. Having house parties. So these are things that you're bringing on yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Nails, like we were talking about, the guy in California. I don't know if it's the governor or the mayor. He's not playing. He's like, bro, you get caught having a house party, we cutting off your water and electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They not playing.
Yeah.
It's a couple spots like that. And listen, in Canada, right? So my girl Pops, he living in Atlanta, of course, so he went to visit Jamaica first, came back here, then went to Canada. So Canada told him, you got quarantine, you know what I mean, when you get up here, just as a precaution. Yo, my man pulled up. He out, you know. He not quarantining. He get a phone call, like, why ain't you at the crib? Like they checking on you. And they find him extra money. They find him for not quarantining when he got up the joint. So other places not playing, but, like, it's funny because, you know, in the battle rap world, Pat Stay was just saying, like, yo, I ain't trying to be funny or nothing, but Canada and where I'm from in Canada, we pretty much got COVID under control. We haven't had a new case in, I think he said, like, 4 weeks. They haven't had a new case. And he was like, we pretty much got it under control. I don't understand why it's difficult for America to get it under control.
Well, I'll interject. It's not all of America. Like, I'm going to be honest. You know, everybody knows New York was the epicenter. New York has been under 1% for an entire month now, since the last week of June. Like, you know, our governor has been holding it down. We have the same, like with Canada, there are 32 states.
Yeah, that's because we shut that bitch down.
Yeah. Yeah. If you come into New York from any of 32 states, you mandatory have to quarantine for 14 days. When you hit the airports or whatever, you have to fill out paperwork. They take your number and everything and the address that you're going to be at, and they do check on you. And if you're caught without quarantining, it's a $2,500 fine, first offense. Then $2,500, then $6,000, and a third offense is jail time, like for real. So they're not playing when it comes to, you know, that whole quarantine thing. That's why I didn't go to GEI weekend in Atlanta, because Georgia was one of them states. And when I came back, I would have had to quarantine for 14 days, knew I wouldn't be able to do it. So I think that, you know, not all of America, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of America is under that Trumpism. You know, that we have to get back to quote unquote normal, and, you know, thinking about the dollar rather than thinking about the people. And that's what has led to, you know, the second wave and all that, is people trying to get their, you know, states trying to get their economies going back and stuff. And I kind of think that's what's going on with the education system. You know, education is big money. You know, education is big money. You know, if the kids going to school, Just the act of them going to school adds millions to any city's economy. You know what I mean? So I think that it's a whole, like you said, Tone, I think it's honestly political more so than common sense. You know, if you just look at it from a common sense, you know, we have this pandemic, you know, numbers are not what they were, but numbers are still numbers. There's no working vaccine. There's no real, at this point, way around it, you know what I'm saying? So why are you going back to school? You know, so but teachers need to go back to work, you know, systems need that bread, you know, the people that make the lunches need that bread, the people that clean the schools need that bread, you know, and so I think it's a political thing to kind of kickstart economies, because children are big business, children are big money, you know what I'm saying? So and which I understand in the aspect of the economy, but to me it just doesn't make sense. Like K-Mel said, you know, a third of the people in the education system are at risk anyway. You know, there's a lot of older teachers and older staff, you know, and you know, these people have families that they're going to be bringing this virus back to. So I don't understand, you know, why people think that it's just like, oh yeah, just send them to school, it'll be all right. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to cause a very strong second wave of the virus. You know, if schools start back August, September, you watch what happens by October. This whole country will be shut back down again. So, you know, it is what it
and
is.
And then here's
like,
the thing. Here's the thing real quick. These kids go to school. Let's say a school get a serious outbreak. 10% of the school get the coronavirus. Now whose fault is it?
Exactly. This is not the NBA in the bubble.
And even in the bubble, they get sick. Like, even in the bubble, they come up, like, one or two in the beginning got sick, and they shipped them off. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, mm-hmm. yo, like, it's not important. Like, it's not that important. Like, the stuff that they're trying to force back open, it's not important. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the NBA
it's not even
already
a risk taken. That's the thing.
Taken. Yeah, it's just not. It's like, okay, what? And that, I'm glad you said the NBA because that was my next thing. Nobody cares. Like, it's not. Nobody's talking. I mean, listen, it's no big conversations like it was before. It's no whole bunch of news like, oh my God, he just dropped 40 points. Like, nobody cares, bro. So what was the idea? Why did you have to force this back? If this wasn't something that had to be forced back. Now, if you wanted to open up a couple more grocery stores just so people wouldn't be packed into one grocery store, now that makes sense. You get what I'm saying? But sports, rushing kids back to school when they already for the last 3-4 months was working from home and everybody was doing great. A lot of the kids was actually doing good. You know what I'm saying? Why would you rush them back into that situation? I mean, bus drivers. So now how, kids that take the bus to school, how are you going to work that out? What, you going to put two people on each bus? You going to buy extra buses? You get what I'm saying? Like, it's just so much that you don't have, like, it's not worth it. I don't think it's that. I think they lose more money than they'll make bringing school back. Because these parents that are sending their kids to school, the minute their son or daughter gets sick, they're going to piss a bitch. They're going to be out here crying and bitching and blaming everybody and stuff for themselves. For sending them.
So, I'll give you the explanation for the NBA, and it's a pretty simple one. So, back in 2013, the NBA signed a deal, TV deal, for $24 billion with a B dollars. All right, and it was an incremental contract. So, in 2013, the first year, the NBA earned $930 million. By year five, it went up to $2.6 billion with a B. Year five was 2018. We're in 2020 now. So that NBA revenue, that TV revenue, is somewhere around $3 billion. That's why they're playing. No other reason, period. That is it. It's two. I'm sorry. I'm looking at it online now. $2.66 billion kicked in starting the 2016-2017 season. And that's good for 5 years. So they're making, you know, basically, you know, $2.5 to $3 billion by finishing the season. Now that money is predicated on the NBA completing a minimum of 70 games on TV. And that's the problem. They were at 64 or 60 something, 62 when they stopped the season. So that literally is the reason why they went back. And, you know, and if you think about it, I think they're doing like 8 or 10 more games and they're going right into playoffs. You see what I mean? So they're doing just enough games to hit that number, that 70, and then they're going right into the playoffs. So that was the only
reason. So it was more of a contract thing.
It was the money. And the reason why the players agree with it is because the TV revenue is the bargaining chip for the NBA player agreement. The NBA's the Players Association contract is up this season. They have to renegotiate a new contract for 2021. And the revenue for that was based off of the TV deal. Because when they did this last contract 3 years ago, they said, okay, well, during this contract, your TV revenues are up to $3 billion. So now we want a higher contract, you know, the Players Association. So they are bargaining for a higher contract. So they lose that bargaining power for more money going to the players from the teams if they don't get the TV money in. So the players are like, you know what, I'm going to play because, you know, that's our contract for next year. So that's what it was. You know, of course, and of course, you know, players want to play and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about the money. You know, and now that I understand and that I almost 100% agree with because that's their business. That's their job. They're earning that's their earnings. That's how they feed their families, you know. So if grown adults for their business say, okay, we're gonna do it this way and it's worth the risk to us, who can stop, you know, I mean, they're grown men, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they grown men. They made it a whole different story. School is a whole different story. For me to put my child at risk so you can put more money into your city's budget, I'm not with that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And
the NBA is boring
to
me. I don't like the bubble.
And yeah,
and
I mean,
the games
anything,
have been super competitive. There's been great games, but I just the bubble for me, the I just can't get into the bubble. I'm not sorry. You know, to me, a big factor in competitive sports is the home versus away thing. To me, that's a very big factor, and you lose it now.
I think what this and this is everything. This is battle rap. This is baseball. This is football. This is basketball. This is music. People didn't realize how important fans were.
Bingo.
Like we pay attention to the stars all the time. But now that you're starting to just see these people, like even like let's look at some of the verses, like some of the verses that we've been watching. You know, some of them been dope because some of the artists been, you know, it's been super dope artists. But some of these artists ain't been as good as we thought. When you really listen to their catalog, like it's like you're not really good. It's not a good catalog. It's not as good. Maybe I'm looking at it different. Like, it's not as good as we thought. But with all the hype and the fans behind it, it was more than what it was. Like even watching some of these battles, it's like, man, now with nobody yelling and screaming, we get a chance to focus on you. You're really not as good as we thought you were. These fans is very important. A lot of businesses, I mean, a lot of entertainment, you know, stuff is finding out how important fans are. Because I seen a little clip on Shannon Sharpe's show, because I'm like, I don't really care for it. But I was looking at it, and I'm like, they got the fake crowd. They got like a machine where somebody scored that things come up. The people come on the screen
yeah.
or something like that. I seen that.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, this is not the way. It's just not. It don't look right.
I think the players
don't got
have
that
adjusted.
Same feel.
I think the players have adjusted. It's almost like, you know, in the beginning, the first couple of games, it was like practice. They weren't even going hard like that because, you know, mentally you don't have that atmosphere, you know. But I think now, you know, the players have kind of, you know, settled in. And now it's just, you know, competitive basketball, which is, you know, good for that, you know, whatever. But it's still not, I mean, and it's all sports. I mean, let's be honest, you know, like hockey is not as competitive without the fans. I mean, nothing's as competitive without fans, bro. It's just that that's the whole idea. That's what the, you know, and artists too. Every time you see an artist win an award, they're thanking the fans. You know, it's like, you know, like, you know, the battles, you know, like to me, the DMX and the Snoop one, that was the best one to me, because all the songs they dropped, everything that they was playing, their whole catalogs really is about the people, about the fans. You know, I think one of the things that made the two of them such a great pairing was that they both tell the stories of the street, which directly relate, you know, with us. So even though they weren't fans there, the music that they're playing is something that we can immediately grasp to. So it still became like a really super dope battle. You know what I mean? But yeah, without the fans behind you, it shows whether you really got talent or not. And a lot of people don't really have talent. They just have marketing.
Marketing, that's what it is. Marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now let me ask you.
Yeah, the radio plays it over and over and over again.
Real quick, just a quick little subject that we missed in the last 3 weeks. oh God, man, the Washington, what they call the Washington?
The
Washington football team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that a good? I'm gonna give my opinion last. But do you think that was a good move for Daniel Snyder to name the team the Washington football team?
Ken knows you first, bro.
Nah, that's on you, because I don't really care.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to answer, because I'm like, on the one hand, I really don't care. But for the subject of the conversation, all right, do I think the name needed to be changed? Yes. I'm not an American Indian. You know, so if that was the Washington Coons or the Washington, you know, Darkies or something like that, and I take offense to it, I take offense to it, right? So calling an American Indian, calling someone of Indian descent, calling them a redskin is like calling us, you know, a coon or a nigga or a darkie. It is extremely, extremely offensive. So just on the basis of that alone, that name should have been changed years ago, right? So now he was squeezed into changing it because he was losing bread. Didn't change the name because it was right. He changed the name because he was losing bread. And then his pompous, arrogant, selfish ass, instead of going back to your people, your fans, the people that fill your stadiums, the people that put money in your pockets, and saying, okay, everybody submit names, and we're going to vote on the best name and all that stuff, like the Toronto Raptors did when they started that basketball team, or the Memphis Grizzlies did when they started their basketball team, or the Vancouver Canucks when they started their freaking hockey team. What did he do? Out of spite, we're going to be the Washington football team. What a complete giant asshole. And what will happen is this. Money, because that Washington franchise is a valuable franchise. But what you're going to lose is your loyal fan base in a city that is desperately loyal. The Washington, D.C. has been desperately loyal to that football team. And I mean super loyal. But watch out, because the hockey team, the Capitals, are always Stanley Cup contenders. The baseball team, the Nationals, are now always World Series contenders. And there's a team in Baltimore that is now consistent Super Bowl contenders. He's going to lose his fan base. Watch what I say.
He be all right, though. He got other problems. He got Epstein problems.
Yeah.
He ain't worrying about the Washington.
That's what I was about to get into. I think that he didn't name the team because he's not going to own the team. Like, people didn't catch that. Like what Nails just said, he didn't name the team because he's not going to own the team. So instead of him going through all that, spending a whole bunch of money, you know, changing the jerseys, changing the team, putting out billboards and all that, all he got to do is just put the R up, the same couple of logos that he had as far as it being when it was the Redskins. All he got to do is put the W, which is pretty much the whole DC, you know, that's the boss, that's the Nationals, that's the Capitals, everybody is just a head with a W on it.
Well,
so
also,
I think his
– Also, you heard about – it was so, you heard about the dude in the D.C. area that he got bread, so he went ahead and trademarked all the options that they had for a name, like the Washington Blackhawks,
yeah.
Like literally – every option that people was tweeting about, he trademarked it. So they would have to buy it from him first at whatever price.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally every single last one. I said, oh, niggas out here ain't playing fair. And you know what? These billionaires don't give a fuck. They not paying you. They will not pay this nigga out of spite and call it the Washington football team, dummy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he definitely did do it in Virginia. Yep, he definitely did do that. Every name that everybody was putting up there, he went and trademarked it so they couldn't use it. But even if it was open, I don't think he's about to go to jail, B. So, you know what I'm saying? They already filing charges and stuff on, not for him, but on some staff members for sexual assault. Like, a lot of the cheerleaders are coming out, you know what I'm saying, and saying that.
Yo, billionaires
for a long time,
don't go to jail, B. They die mysteriously
and
they sell. They don't go to jail, though.
But yeah, so we can, that's that. That's why I think he didn't do it. I think he didn't do it because he's not going to own the team. At this point, nobody likes him in DC. You know what I mean? So he's been lost the respect of the fan base, like the last 4 or 5 years. You know, just keeping Jay Gruden on, he lost the respect of the fan base. And
hey,
now my thing is this. Okay.
Hey, Jay Gruden in on them charges. So now we know why he kept them on. They ties is deeper than football. Yeah. That's the homie.
Yeah. There's always something. You know what I mean? You can't go 3-13, 4-12, 2-14 and get an extension. You get what I mean? Like, that makes no sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he felt like now. It was like, well, look, they got us now, so it don't matter. Bye. You can tell what you want. They already got us. So that's probably what that was. You know what I mean? But
you think he's going to sell the team, huh?
Yeah, I think that's why he didn't name it. Because he could have named the team anything. I mean, he could have felt the name, bro. Like, that's a big and organization. They could have got any name.
Yeah, but I think it's still a long process for it, though.
I think he didn't do that because I think he's about to sell the team. Like I said, all these charges that's coming up on the GM. A lot of the people that's in the corporate, the high up in that organization is getting charges filed on them for sexual assault. So I think just the overall embarrassment, it's just too much. You know what I'm saying? It's just too much right now. This is the thing about Bill. This is the thing about people with money, like real money. We're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're talking about money, like billionaires. Like, they don't like to be told what to do. So the fact that he had to change that name and he didn't want to is embarrassing. You get what I'm saying? Because now his other billionaire is like, they told you to change the name and you did it.
Yeah,
you,
I know Jerry
like,
Jones
listen,
in his ass.
Yeah, listen to him talk. Listen to them billionaires talk when, like, these owners talk on these shows when they be like, for instance, Jerry Jones. No, you do this on my team, you done. Like, I ain't doing this. He owned the NFL. Like, bro, you just have a team. But he run it like he owned the NFL. Like, y'all ain't telling me nothing. And that's how they be. So the fact that he had to change that name, oh man, that's super embarrassing to his crew when they go back in their little meetings and vacations and everybody tease him and all that. Yeah, he can sell that team. He'll sell it. He don't need it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
super billionaire. It's nothing. But before we get off, I wanted to get on the other topic. Okay, so we got Trump, we got Biden, and we got the one and only Kanye West. Yeah,
Mr. West,
wake up, Mr. West. A lot of people feel like Kanye is doing this to take the black vote from Biden. But this is my thing. Why do people feel like black people have to vote for Democrat? Why nobody saying the Latino vote?
Yeah.
Why nobody saying the... You get what I'm saying? It's everything. It's always the black vote, the black vote, the black vote. Latinos vote too. You get what I'm saying? Asians vote too. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. That's one of the stories
Latinos,
that we missed.
You'd be surprised how many Latinos vote Republican.
Yeah, a lot of
the majority.
But that question got a lot of layers. One. Well, in general, us as a community, we haven't created any real economic infrastructure. We haven't created any real social infrastructure. So they know because that's the case, we're reliant on this illusion of the Democratic Party being for us. But the Democratic Party consistently do the black song and dance every 4 years when it's election time, get the black vote, and then dismiss black people categorically. That's been consistent for time now. And we can even say under Obama's tenure, that was the same narrative too, because outside of him just being the image of a biracial black man in America in the highest position, outside of the imagery, he can't really do nothing, in my opinion, for the community as a whole. But that's consistently the narrative. That's what the DNC do. So we're not doing anything collectively as a community to be able to create the economic infrastructure and social infrastructure that we need to operate outside of a party, right? And what I mean by that is, just like you said, you don't see anybody lobbying for the Asian vote. You don't see anybody lobbying for the Latino vote, really. You don't see all of these other foreign demographics. You don't see, whether it's Democrat or Republican, you don't see them lobbying for the vote, but they consistently lobby for the black vote, which draws a lot of suspicion because it begs the question, well, if we truly only made up 13% of the population and then even a smaller portion of the voting population based on their statistics, then why do the Democratic Party feel they need our vote so much? Or why do the Republican Party feel they don't need our vote so much if it matters? So it's so many layers in different conversations in there as to why. Believe it or not, contrary to what they believe, in my opinion, Kanye is not going to garner enough votes to alter the election one way or another. I honestly don't think so. I don't. It would it surprise me? No. But I don't think black people is going to be going out here in droves to vote for Kanye West. You got a couple of few idiots that's Kanye fans no matter what, and they would be willing to cast their vote. Okay, that's your right. Kanye West, I wouldn't cast Kanye West to do anything for me other than make a piece of fabric or a motherfucking beat. That's it. If it ain't one of them two things, Kanye West couldn't drive my car. He was already in an accident. I don't even trust him to drive. He can't drive me. So you got all of these other people, however, they feed into, they just Kanye fans. So it's just another thing to do on the Kanye list that they could check off. I voted for Ye. But outside of that, I don't think in this present election, no. Now, for 2024, however, you're definitely going to have to be cautious of Kanye because this is not something that he's going to let down. He's going to jump on the ticket in 2024 for sure. And if he's dismissed, it'll be much to the chagrin of like a Trump, because Trump ran in 2012. Trump was dismissed and laughed off the ballot. Turned around 2016, and look who we got as president. So definitely it's something to keep your eye on, but man, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit from no Kanye. Now, we all know as a black community, we all know how foolish it is to look for a party to validate us or invalidate us, to look for a party to do anything for us except tap dance, fucking carry hot sauce in their purse, and try to appeal to black people and shit when it's voting season. And then after that, they're not going to do anything. So if we're not making the necessary steps to move beyond this idea of our affiliation to a political party and begin to be self-sufficient, not only economically, not only socially, but politically as well, then we'll be able to leverage what our true power is, and then we can get shit done. But if we're trying to make it work in these systems, I don't know. History has just continuously showed us that that's not going to be the case.
That's not the move. Definitely not the move. And I definitely agree with you. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. Like, I just told I told Tika this the other day. I'm like, it's funny, yo. I'm 40 years old, and for 40 years, well, since I can remember, we've been 13% of the population. Like, that makes no sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it makes no sense, and people run with it. We only 13%. We only 13%. In 40 years, nothing. We didn't go up to 14. You get what I'm saying? Like, wow. Like, that's
right.
Okay. You know what I mean? With all these biracial babies, because it doesn't matter. It's a black baby. You know what I'm saying? With all these biracial relationships and all these people, you know, different minorities and stuff coming into the country over the years, we still at 13. Is it still only 32 million black people? Like, come on, get out of here, man. Like, why you think they try so hard? They try so hard every election. I don't care what it is. It could be this town hall meeting, the local mayor. They don't go into the white neighborhoods and knock on doors and stuff. They come straight to the black, like, we want y'all to come out and vote, come out and vote, come out and vote, come out and vote. And then they get a celebrity, and then everybody jump on board. Oh, this is the year we have to vote. We have this, a change we need. This is the, oh, my goodness, bro. It's a, like you said, the same song and dance, and people just fall for it every single year, every single year.
Yep.
Every single year. The one thing I could truly say about Trump is everything that he said he was going to do, he did, whether it was for us or not for us. Whatever he said he was going to do, he was going to do. And that's, I can respect that. It wasn't a whole bunch of promises. Hey, I'm going to give y'all this, and I'm going to make the change, and this is going to be good. I'm going to bring this many jobs.
That's political, too. That's political, too, because for the first one, it was a Republican-controlled Congress anyway. So that was the difference. When Obama came in there, Mitch McConnell literally said the number one agenda is to make sure he don't get nothing he want, period. So if Trump had that same resistance, he wouldn't have been able to accomplish nothing. It's easier to push them dumbass agendas through Congress when you the majority. And he had the House and Senate when he got elected, because that's the political sphere, though. That's how the pendulum swing, because now what we going to see, because we all know that was a response, that was a white lash, a response to Obama winning for 8 years. Now all of a sudden you got people coming out to the polls who was never voting for ever before, because they're like, a nigga ain't going to do it again, period. So you saw everything shift overwhelmingly to that of the Republican in both the House and the Senate. Now, they've since gotten the House back. This, what happens in November, if it still go on, is going to be very, 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 you know, quintessential on that, on their ability to achieve, just speaking about the politics of it all, to achieve what they feel like they need to achieve. Because if they can win the Senate, if they can win those Senate seats and win more of those House seats that's up, then if Biden wins, then you got what Trump had when he was elected in 16. You got a Democratic president, you got a Democratic House, you got a Democratic senator. Then at that point, it's really no excuse to push, quote-unquote, the agenda. But again, that's just the politics of it all. So you have to believe in the politics to a degree, which I don't, because I understand that on a large scale, like we always say, it's two wings of the same bird. So yeah, they work in opposition, but that's just at the surface. It looks that way. The reality is they work together to maintain the same controls and the same illusions of freedom that we see every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just my take on it. Like, Trump is just different because, one, he's not a politician. Two, he's a failed businessman. And three, he's very charismatic. So that's why he's different in a sense, because he don't talk like politics, and he be saying some off-the-wall shit. And it's like, no matter what, he don't conform. So to a degree, real niggas who understand nonconformity, because we lived our life as nonconformists, as black. The only way to be free and black is to be nonconformist. So that's why a lot of times black people say, because he have that element. But that's just one of many ways that he's one. Far from qualified. Like, he's somebody, just given his history, I wouldn't let him do nothing for me. I wouldn't even let him sell a product for me. Fuck him. If he not, because he already got enough failed businesses. He already raped a lot of people out of money. The only thing he was good at was creating this illusion that Trump as a brand was the biggest thing in the world. And most of the times it wasn't. That's why he got so many foreign ties, because he was doing business with Russia and all of these other places and just licensing his name on the building. He wasn't paying no money. He wasn't – I'm talking about nothing. Like, literally, the Trump name was parallel to success because of his branding. That's it. And, you know, he was able to leverage that into a political career, because you got stupid, racist idiots, and he was able to speak to that. But I don't mean no harm. Trump doesn't brand himself better than Diddy. Trump doesn't brand himself better than so many other people in the game. But Trump is white. He's old, 70-year-old white man, billionaire. So, of course, he got more leverage on his side as it pertains to those types of thoughts and ideas and concepts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I'll add this much to it. Trump understands the power of marketing, and he understands the power of controversy. He's built
yep.
his career on controversy. That's why he's the Apprentice is all about controversy, and that's what he's most known for, right? He's not a politician. He you know, he's a complete asshole, but he's not an idiot. So, you know, he was able to capitalize on people's hatred for Obama. He knew that the quintessential American population, these white people, hated having this black man in office. And he knew that he could run successfully against anyone in the Democratic Party as long as he tied that person to Obama. As far as the parties go, me personally, I don't care if Biden wins and has a Democratic Congress, House and Senate. I still don't think it's going to be any good for us. If history is a good teacher, which it tends to be, the last time the Democratic Party had control of the White House and the entire Congress was the Bill Clinton years. Clinton was president with a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and literally established the biggest incarceration system for black folks in history. That's what he did with a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate. So I don't trust the Democrats to do anything for us. They never have and they never really will. None of them will. At the end of the day, they're all looking after themselves because that's really what they're made of. So do I think Biden will be, you know, a better option than Trump? I would vote for Mickey Mouse over Trump, you know, but do I like Biden? Not really, no. You know what I mean? So as far as Kanye West goes, Kanye West knows nothing about politics. Kanye West can't run his own home. Kanye West is, to me, a little bit off. You know, he's always kind of been a little bit off. You know, so that to me is a joke. I'm sure he will get some votes because, you know, there are Yeezy fans who are, you know, between the ages of 18 to 21, 22, that'll be like, I'm rocking with Yeezy. But the rest of the people are going to be like, what the fuck are you doing here? Stop. Especially after, you know, this whole thing with Trump. You know, if there's any glaring, obvious thing to the whole Trump presidency is that this man knows nothing about politics. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
but
nothing.
That,
if there's anything that he proved. No. Yeah. That's the whole point until, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was the whole point with him getting elected. But when it actually came to running the country now, if there's anything that the Trump years have, to me, displayed is, it's important to actually know politics when you're in that office, you know, because...
Let me ask you this, Jonathan, real quick. Take away Trump, take away the racism, like, you know, the racist stuff that he said, whatever. Take away that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What haven't he done to run the country? What haven't he done that Obama did to run the country?
So I don't compare him to Obama. It's two different time frames, two different everything, right? So what I compare him to is compare him on a political level, okay? So most of what Trump has done, 80% of what Trump has done has been by executive order. He's signed more executive orders than any president in history. So it's Trump saying, okay, this is what I want, write it on a piece of paper, sign it, and make it law. That's executive order, literally. So and he used executive order to first repeal everything from President Obama that he could except for Obamacare. It's the only thing that he wasn't able to, you know, successfully, you know, wipe out. So, and that was mostly by executive order. The few things that he actually needed a Congress for never got accomplished. He ran promising to make a wall to between the United States and Mexico. To this very day, there's only less than three miles of wall built, and it was a complete disaster. And that was something that he couldn't get done just by executive order. He actually needed a Congress with that. He has a Republican Congress.
I'm gonna cut you off. I'm gonna cut you off. Kanell's he said his phone dropped and we passed the 7 o'clock. Me and you can finish this conversation personally.
Right.
I don't want your call dropped. So what we're gonna do is let everybody know where they can find you at. And then we'll finish this on another call. Let everybody know where they can find
you. Gotcha. All right, guys. You know, you can follow me all social media, JEPHOTOS_CEO, JEPHOTOS_CEO. You can follow me just #GEI. I'm the GEI president. So anything you find GEI will link back to me.
That's what's up. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter @GEI_Tone. You can find me on Facebook, Tone Mitchell. Of course, you can follow the radio show, GEI Radio, on all social media platforms. We hear each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., myself, Jonathan, K-Nels. Shout out to everybody that tuned in. Shout out to everybody that go back and listen to the shows. We appreciate it. We're going to keep this thing rolling and rolling. Hopefully, we could turn this into some TV. You know what I mean? That's the next step with it. But just
that's
be patient
goal.
With
that's
that.
Definitely.
Again, man, shout out to everybody that tuned in. Keep tuning in with us. Everybody enjoy the rest of their night. Peace.
Peace.